with him. He's 20. Verse 20. Chapter 28 starts off. He was 20 years old, 2 years older than you, 4 years older than you, when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Okay. Now, where are we now? He started off not living right, not doing right in the sight of God and all like that. That's all last week. He did some bad stuff. There was, we talked about, was this last week?
Yeah.
The insidious progress of idol worship. It went from a thinking. You ever be in church and then your thoughts kind of wander and you're not thinking about the message or the service? And, I mean, that never happens to anybody here. But, I mean, we can't imagine that there are people in the world that are in church sometimes and their thoughts may wander. All right, that's not the same as idol worship. It's not. However, from that place, idol worship can find itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If your mind is wandering, it's looking for a place to land. And once it lands, it'll take in where it lands. And it's up to us as the people with the minds that are wandering, that once our mind lands, to find out, am I in the place that I need to be? Am I still in an old argument? Or do I need to shift and change to something else? So you're in church, your mind wanders, it lands on the show you saw last week on Netflix that you loved so much, and the episode's going through your mind, and you're like, well, it's up to you to, now that you've landed, see that that's not where your mind needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem Ahaz had was what the pastor mentioned when you asked that question, was it worth it? And he listed four things that could have been the way that Ahaz was operating. He said, was he confused? Was he misguided? Did he have a false sense of logic? Was he in rebellion? My question to you is, what do you think was the problem with the way he was operating? Was it confusion, misguidingness, false logic, or rebellion? What do you think? Let's hear from this end of the table. We haven't heard from y'all. What do you think it was? The options were, was Ahaz confused when he did all this stuff? Was he misguided? Was there a false sense of logic there, or was he in rebellion?
Or perhaps something else.
Or, yes, I always think of that. Or was it maybe something else?
I mean, just going off like the beginning of the chapter, I would say rebellion, because he was living not in the eyes of God. Seriously, doubt he didn't know what he was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was saying how he was doing like outrageous practices and like, you know, picking up things up from the pagan gods.
Yeah.
And so I think he knew it was wrong. So
mm-hmm.
That's why I said.
What about you? What you think? Same thing or something else? Yeah, my sister Elizabeth.
At first, I was thinking false logic, because when we were talking about the that he formed a logical argument but made a faulty conclusion, he should know that
mm-hmm.
by now.
Mm-hmm.
That what he's doing, like worshiping other gods, of course it wouldn't work for him, because that's not Israel's God.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's God is, you know. But, yeah.
And we have to keep in mind, too, the idea that he was in rebellion is not far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not the first king of Israel or Judah. He's not the fifth king. There have been generations upon generations. And it's not that they forgot about any kings. They know the history. He knew about King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about King David. He knew about King Solomon and all the other kings that came before him, whether good or bad in the eyes of the people or in the eyes of God. He knew that as king, he had to know. And he had his father as an example as well. And his grandfather as an example. So they, you can look at it and say, well, maybe he just didn't know. I'm not saying that any of you said that, because you did. A state of rebellion is when you know you're rebelling, you're going against something. You know what's right, but you choose to do it the wrong way. Why do you keep trying to find something else? I thought about this when you were talking about your mind wandering and getting to a place. We don't think like that when we drive. Mm-hmm. Who gets in their car and just starts driving, uncertain of where to go, don't know, like, and for hours, just driving around, just looking around at stuff, and then say, you know, all right, I'm hungry. Maybe I want something to eat, but where do I go to eat? And you spend all day doing that. Nobody does that. Normally. Not saying that there are
that's
no exceptions.
Exception. Yeah, that's
exception. Normally what happens, if you put forth the effort to get out of bed, get cleaned up and dressed,
yes,
and head out the door and get into your vehicle, you usually have a destination in mind. You have somewhere that you're going to go. There may be an accident on the bridge. You're going to detour. You deviate from the original path, but only in order to get to where you're going, some kind of way getting back on that track. Because the goal is in mind. Ahaz here had every opportunity to get right, like all the kings before him. But he was so focused on not doing it God's way that even when God's way came to him, he went around it. He tried to go under it or some kind of way, long as I don't have to do it this way. And that's where he came up with this whole, hey, since they defeated us, even though the prophet said that things would happen this way, I'm not saying that he spoke to him directly, but because it happened this way, maybe I should be worshiping them. Does a one victory equal God is with us? Or God is for us? If he knew the history and saw where God used Egypt to defeat Israel, he should know better than that. He used the Philistines. Now, the Philistines, are they the ones who God is with now? Is God for them now? He just used them. He just used them to defeat your people.
And he tells them that. You know, it's not like this is done and that. Well, I never figured that out.
Right.
He tells them, like you told me, before you get on your high horse now, I'm just using you to punish my people. Punish
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you get all excited about this, like you're doing something. I use you to punish you. All the captivities, he used their enemies to punish them for their turning away from him and going into other practices and doing all kinds of stuff. So this is not something that he would not have known.
Right.
But it's like when you get all into, it's just like when you get into sin and you're trying to justify yourself, you keep doing stuff. You keep, well, I'll just do this to get out. You don't want to go the way you know to go. You know what to do. But you don't want to do that. You keep trying to do something else to cover this or make this happen or that. You got to come back to it. Eventually, the only way you're going to get out is come back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
With them, with him, Ahaz, he was in rebellion, I feel. And he was in pride.
Yeah.
Because he knew these things, like you said, he knew the history, but he refused to come back to God. He refused to. So, you know, it's like with the knowledge that he had, he made the choice to go against God. And then he continued to make the choice, continue to go against God, not thinking clearly. But when you lift it up in pride, you're not thinking clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact. So I think he was in rebellion and full of pride and he would not, he kept trying to find some other way out of the situation he was in, out of being defeated, out of, I'll give them some money. I'll go ransack the temple and turn over everything valuable to them. And what happened? He got all that silver and gold, everything, and gave it to him. And what did the guy do? He took it.
Mm-hmm.
He helped him.
What did he do? After he took the money, he helped himself to some more. He marched right into Jerusalem and helped himself to some more.
And thanks for letting me know where it's at.
So what is he trying to do? He's trying to pay off the enemy.
Right.
You're not going to pay off who God has given you. Yeah. You can't pay him off.
And God doesn't do that with his people. He never has his people pay off the devil.
You're begging somebody?
This is an interesting...
Beg? Why?
This is an interesting thing to have at this time,
mm-hmm.
to be a king, and for people who are attacking you to not even value your money. They didn't value the money in terms of, well, what would you have me to do? When people value money like that, I mean, they may hold value. I don't want to say it the wrong way. The money didn't move them.
Mm-hmm.
They just accepted it. If you go out on the street and a guy is holding a sign and you have him hold out a dollar and he's like, just snatch it out your hand and just don't even make eye contact. That tells you something. You know, I didn't have to give you that. That's what you think in your head. Because it didn't seem grateful. If let's say you do the same thing, the guy's there, you hold out a 20 and he comes... grabs it out your hand, don't make eye contact, the same way. You'll think something about that. You'll feel a certain way about that. Because it doesn't seem... It either means perhaps he didn't see how much it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps he might have a stash and this is a hustle. Or perhaps I don't know what I'm doing.
And you really feel like it's a hustler who pulled out a gun and robbed you of whatever else you
had. Right, exactly. So he takes the 20 and asks you to pull over and then clears out the rest of your stuff. And you leave there with no radio and all that. Well, nowadays everything is touchscreen, so you can't really do much with these cars today. But that idea, pride gets in the way. It clouds your judgment. It gives you this wrong kind of logic. And you look and see, whoever examines themselves to see, why are things happening? Is this pride that's causing this destruction? If I hear a knock on the door, I expect a certain person with a certain knock. Now, normally, in a situation, when they come in, Elizabeth comes to the door, even though I'm asleep at the time, don't see them. Elizabeth will come through the door, and then Rose comes to the door. If every time Elizabeth comes to the door, Rose comes to the door, it should tell me something that when I see Elizabeth, I should expect Rose. Because Elizabeth comes before Rose when they walk through the door.
Mm-hmm.
If you think spiritually, or even have some type of mental prowess, and you see destruction at your doorstep, something should tell you that you should check to see, did pride walk in first? It should tell you that, because it's clearly stated. I mean, again, hindsight, we look back thousands of years. Of course it was pride. How could he not see it? But the question is not just that. The question is when it comes on us, and it's not 2,000 years ago, and it's today, and we see stuff happening, everything is not a Job situation. Because you got to be faithful to be Job. You got to be perfect to be Job. You got to do everything you're supposed to do as you understand it. To be Job. God ain't saying, have you considered my servant so-and-so who never follows what I say? You've already got, he don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm. That would be the devil.
The devil.
Have you
considered
my circumcised?
Exactly. It's the opposite situation. And if we don't look at it like that, it'll be a thing where we turn our nose up to the kings of Israel. We'll turn our nose up to the kings of Judah and say, they just them some wicked, oh goodness, how in the world? The question comes to us, how in the world are we like them? And if we can't see ourselves in them, we need to look closer. Because in some way, we're reflecting that in our own lives. It may not be, I mean, we can't compare ourselves to them because we're not kings and queens. We don't have kingdoms. We don't have the pressure of a kingdom. We want the jewelry of a king, but we don't want the responsibility of a king.
Amen.
Because we don't want to take on that type of responsibility. We don't want to carry that type of burden. And because we're unwilling to do the work, why accept the position?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we're unwilling to do that, then don't put yourself in that category. But wherever you are, if you can see that I allow myself to get upset over silly things, you're right there with them. Because if you've been promoted to that level, you just do it on a larger scale. One of the things that I think was Warren Buffett, I'm just going to paraphrase, I believe it was Warren Buffett that talked about the love of money, and saying how money shows who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
When you have it, it shows you, you know, when you either have it or when you don't have it. If you have it in abundance and you're a jerk, you'd just be a bigger jerk,
mm-hmm.
you know, to more people. Because you have more attention and you just be that way. You know, who you are is who you are. And either having something or not having something will just show that a little bit more to everyone else.
Amen. So, we're looking at, so the answer to the question is, why was he wrong? It was all four of those things. He was, and your answers, we see that. He was confused. All right? Because it's confusion if you think you're going to war against God and win. That's confusing.
It's not innocent confusion.
Yeah, it's not innocent confusion. Yeah, it's not like he just didn't. He wasn't ignorant. He was confused. He was also misguided, which goes together. He had a false sense of logic. He saw that the Edomite, the folks from Damascus, the Syrians, they beat him. And it must be because of their gods. Therefore, I'll serve their gods and I won't be beaten anymore. And then finally, he was in rebellion. When we hear rebellion, a lot of us think of like the revolution. We think of open, hard rebellion. But there's another type of rebellion that happens inside and not outside. There's a rebellion that happens when you decide that the rules are not good enough and that you're going to do something else. There's a soft rebellion. But guess what? It's still rebellion.
Exactly.
And when we find that this is the case in our lives, it is our duty to address that.